Hey, Northridge. Back when I was in seminary and taking Greek, I learned this paradoxical principle that every rule has an exception. That's relevant this weekend because we have a rule with Unforgettable that we only bring in communicators one time during the summer, but, well, the rule has an exception this weekend because this communicator is such a part of Northridge, such an impacting spiritual follower of Jesus that we wanted to hear from him again. And besides that, he's really a part of our teaching rotation right now. So would you give him a warm, warm embrace as if he's part of the family, because he is. Pete Wilson.
Good morning. So good to see you guys. I want to welcome those of you that might be at the Brighton campus or the Grove Seal campus. Those of you watching online, we're so glad that you're with us today and part of the Northridge family. It's an honor to be back with you guys, and I'm glad you broke the rules and let me come back for a second time during the summer. And I love being here. I love listening to Pastor Brad just talk about all the different opportunities to connect. This church is such an amazing church, and so many cool volunteer experiences. I had no idea you had a dance team. I think that's awesome. I will be trying out. Don't expect any, you know, special treatment or anything. I'll earn my way onto the team, okay? But it's just so cool to be a part of a church that's just doing amazing things in this area, and I'm just really proud of you guys for continuing to be such a force for good. And again, like I said, it's an honor to be here. So today, we're going to talk about what I think is one of the most inspiring things to talk about, which is actually your death. Now, a lot of people probably wouldn't necessarily think that talking about your own mortality is like necessarily a very inspiring thing. Some of you might think it's kind of morbid, and I kind of understand that because it is kind of morbid. Like, you know, it's this reality that we spend most of our lives trying to forget about the fact that we're going to die. It's why funerals are kind of uncomfortable for us. It's why graveyards seem kind of creepy. It's like this whole idea that we like to do anything but remember the fact that there's going to be an end to life on this earth. So what does that look like, and how does that compel us like to live differently? See, the reality is, aside from birth, the only other thing that every single human being on this planet is ever gonna experience is death. And it's interesting because as a pastor, and if you ever get a chance to talk to one of the pastors here on staff or talk to Pastor Brad, I think they would reinforce this. As a pastor, you spend more time than the average person around people who are in the final months, weeks, days, sometimes hours of their life. And I've been in ministry kind of on and off for about 20 years, and I've spent a lot of time with people in those final, you know, hours. And it's sometimes a little strange because you're invited into very intimate settings with families when they're, you know, again, it's just a very intimate moment, and sometimes you don't even necessarily know them super well. But I've always tried to be very observant of those moments and very respectful. And to be honest with you, over the years, some of the most like memorable lessons in my life have come from watching individuals and families in those final days and hours of life on this earth. You pick up a lot, because people who know that the end is imminent, at least their time here on this earth, they have just this crystal clarity about what really matters in life. And I've always tried to pay really close attention to that. And so the Bible talks about this idea that there's a lot of wisdom when it comes to remembering that your days are numbered. In fact, there's this passage in Psalms 39, we'll look at it together. It says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand, my entire lifetime. It's just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Now, the wisdom in remembering that you're gonna die is actually to help you reflect on how you're living now. And so I brought a couple different props along to kind of help us with this, all right? So I think most of you received a tape measure when you came in today, whatever campus you're at. If you're watching online, I'm sorry. We haven't figured out that technology. Maybe you could do a quick DIY project or something. But if you'll pull this tape measure out that you got whenever you came in, and I want you to look at the side with the small numbers, all right? I think those are centimeters, I think. I'm not exactly sure, but I think those are centimeters. It should go up to about 92 exactly, all right? So I want you to look at that, and just for our purposes, and this is just an illustration, all right? So don't wig out on me about this, all right? But I think this will be a good exercise. I want you, first of all, to find your age on that tape measure. I realize it only goes up to 92. There might be some of you here that are beyond that, and let's just be very grateful that you're here, okay? And I'm sorry, we just couldn't find them that went past that. But find your age on there, okay? I'm gonna find mine, okay? And what I want you to do is just make a tear in that tape measure right there. Go ahead, tear it apart, okay? Tear it apart. And then I want you to take the side that goes from zero up until your current age, all right? That represents your past. That's your past. For some of you, like, you know, you're glad it's your past, right? You're moving on. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your past. I want you to put it over your shoulder, and I just want you to drop it, all right? Just drop it back there because it's gone. It's behind you. Now, hey, don't pick up the person in front of you paper, all right? Just let them have a little privacy, okay? At least right now, not now. May, at the end of the service, please pick up everything that's on the floor on your way out. But right now, just leave it there, okay? Now, what you have is from your age up through like 92. So the next thing I want you to do is I want you, and again, let's just pick it, all right? Just pick the number at which you think the Lord might call you home. Now, if you need some help, average mortality in the U.S. for men is 76. For women, it's 81. Now, I'm just looking out here, and I'm sure this is true of all of the locations. You guys look extremely healthy. So I want you to bet on the good side, all right? But pick a point, right? And then I want you to tear it off where you think the Lord might call you home. Just pick a number, all right? Let's see. I'm going to go right here. All right. I want you to take that, the little part from, you know, when you're going to 92, just take that and drop it on the floor in front of you, all right? What that represents, by the way, for you, hopefully, is eternity. Now, for me, when I think about eternity, while I love my life here on this earth and I want to make the most of it, the idea that one day I'm going to be, you know, truly home with our Creator, that I might have the opportunity to sit around and talk to people that I haven't seen in decades, people that mean a lot to me, like grandparents and friends. For some of you, it'll be children that you'll be reunited with. Like, that's a beautiful thing to think about. Wow, what is that gonna be like, right? So that's significant. But what you have left in your hand is symbolic of from this day forward until the Lord calls you home. It's kind of sobering, right? It's kind of sobering. And maybe you just take this and maybe you fold it up and stick it in your pocket. Maybe you save it just to remind you that your days are numbered. And that's true of every single one of us. Our days are numbered. And I don't know about you, but whatever time I have left on this earth, whether it's 6 days or whether it's 6,000 days, I want to make the most of this. So what does that look like? It's interesting. One day Jesus is teaching to a group of people. This is Matthew chapter 6. And it's a group of people who are kind of worried about just the details of life, just the kind of day-to-day things. And he says to them, he says, hey, guys, don't worry about all the little things that people who don't even know God tend to worry about. And this point that he's trying to make is, you know what, there's some things in life that are just more significant. They carry more weight than others. This is the way he said it in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. To which some of you are like, that is the most true thing that Jesus has ever said, right? There is enough trouble every single day. And what Jesus is saying here is, hey, you should give more time and attention and weight to some things more than other things. Like, there's some things in life that are worth prioritizing. And so he says, I want you to seek first those things. Now, he doesn't really list out what those things are, but he does say, in other words, I want you to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. There's some things that matter more than other things. Now, what does that mean? And what does that look like? I just want to spend the rest of the message just trying to unpack that simple idea of what does it look like to seek first the kingdom? What does it look like to take Jesus at his word and to prioritize the things that really matter over all just the kind of little details that happen every day? And I brought some props along that I think will help us. This illustration isn't like original to me. In fact, I don't even know exactly where it started, but the simple idea is this, that this jar, this vase, whatever you want to call it, is going to represent a 24-hour period in your life. All right, that's what this is. This jar equals one day. Now, this rice represents all the different little activities that you have to do in the course of a day, the kind of things that fill up our days. Like, for instance, we could start with work. Most of you work. You probably work 40, 50. Some of you work 60 hours a week, but you got a lot of work. Now, on top of that, you got to sleep. Most of you sleep probably 6, 7, 8 hours, I would say, a night, unless you happen to be staying in a hotel room in Detroit where they're having a wedding and the wedding party decided to party in the hallway, but I digress. So you got to shower, you got to sleep, you got to brush your teeth, you got to floss. But let's talk about flossing for a second, because really, that's like one grain, right? Because who really does that every day? I know some of you do, and I'm proud of you, but like, I go to the dentist, and they're like, do you floss? I'm like, today I did, you know? I mean, like, but that's about it, you know? So you have flossing, and some of you are exercising, and that's great. And then you got just daily chores, right? You're buying meals, you're fixing meals, you're cleaning up after meals, somebody's sweeping around the house, somebody's mowing the grass, somebody's paying the bills. Then some of you have kids. Let's just dump a bunch in there for that, all right? Because that's a lot of time, right? And some of you are single and you're dating. Some of you are dating more than others. And you got a lot of different things that are kind of going on in your life. Then hopefully you have some hobbies, right? Hopefully, like, you're reading some books. Maybe you're going on vacation from time to time. You're playing golf. You're doing different things. These things that just kind of fill up our days. And then on top of all that, like, you have the unexpected things that happen that you don't necessarily plan for, that all of a sudden creep in. And so your car breaks down, like somebody in your family gets sick, your in-laws come for a visit, you get sick, like all kinds of different things that kind of happen in the course of a day. And before long, have you ever gotten to the end of the day and you're just like, what happened to today? Like, where did it go? It's like every day, it's like without even trying, without even putting any effort into your day, it fills up. It just does. Things happen. Life goes on. Now, what's challenging to me is on top of all these just like basic day-to-day things that fill up our days, there's also some things in life that really matter. Right? Again, the way Jesus put it is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. In other words, there's some things that really matter in life. What does that look like? So I brought some tennis balls along, and these tennis balls are going to represent, for our purposes, things that really matter in life. And this is kind of an exercise. So I'm going to tell you four things that really matter in my life, and maybe there's, you know, some similarities to what matters in your life. But what I'd like for you to do as we're talking through this is to think about what really matters in my life. And what are truly, like, my values that I'm going to make sure I don't miss in my life that I have here and the time that I have left. And maybe this is a great exercise. Maybe, you know, after the service, maybe you can, you know, go out and maybe you're out with some friends, or maybe you're out with your family, maybe you want to spend some time alone, and list out 4 or 5 things that you want to make sure you don't miss in this lifetime. I'm going to give you 4 examples, all right, things kind of from my life. And the first tennis ball, I don't know if you guys can see this, I'm going to put a T on here. And that's going to stand for transformation. Like, this idea of transformation is important to me. Like, I've got some junk in my life. I have some patterns in my life. I have some sin in my life. I have some stuff that I would like to see some transformation in. Like, I don't feel like I'm yet at this place where, and I don't know that this is a thing that you ever like completely arrive. Probably the moment that you think that you've arrived and you have all the transformation you need in your life is the moment that something's gonna fall apart. Because I really believe in my heart that this isn't about me trying to clean up some things in my life so that God will accept me or love me. I think that's already taken care of there. This is more about me not wanting to miss out on becoming the person that I think God has created me to be. And it's interesting, going back to that idea of spending time with people sometimes in those last weeks and days of their life, this is something that I've seen come up again and again. I've heard people talk about some deep regret about wishing that they had worked harder at becoming a better father or a better husband or a better wife or a better mom. I've heard some regret about, man, I should have paid more attention to the kind of person I was becoming. And usually there's been some major transformation in their life, because one of the things that happens when you realize that you're going to die is there's a certain aspect of surrender that happens. You come face to face with powerlessness, and you just kind of all of a sudden, you're almost forced to surrender. And it's in that surrender that you actually become the person that God created you to become. I've heard people talk a lot about forgiveness in the last weeks and days of their life. I've heard people talk about, why in the world did I hold on to that grudge? Why did I hold on to that bitterness? Why didn't I let this go sooner? Those are the kind of things that I want to see some transformation in my life. I think I hold on to grudges too long. I'm not quick enough to forgive in places and with people who maybe hurt me deeply. And I still want to hold on to some of those things. So I want there to be some transformation in my life. I want to become the person that God's created me to become. And how does that happen? Well, there's certain activities, right, that I want to engage in the midst of all these other things that are going on day to day. There's some things that I know if I commit myself to them, they help me become a better person. They help me transform into the person God created me to become. Worship's one of them. Like, when we're here together and we worship, there's a transforming quality that happens in our hearts. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. It's almost like your heart is a bucket, and there's certain things in life that are kind of taking from the bucket, and then you sometimes are in an environment where you feel very dry and in need, and then you come in and you worship, and you feel like God's almost filling your heart back up. He's filling your bucket back up with the things that you need to go out and live this life that He's called you to live. For some of you, maybe it's volunteering. There's some new opportunities around Northridge for you guys to engage as volunteers. For some of you, it's gonna be this Rooted that's coming up this fall. It's a deeper dive. There's some things that maybe you can engage in that you're gonna have to make space for in your life if you really wanna seek first the things that matter the most. So transformation, that's something really important to me. Second one, I'm gonna put on this tennis ball an L. And that's gonna just stand for love. I really believe with all my heart that the greatest use of my life, the greatest use of your life is love. It really is. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but truly loving the people around you, that takes some time. That takes a lot of time. There's a woman by the name of Bronnie Ware. She's an Australian nurse. Who spent years and years and years taking care of people in the final weeks of their life. And she was very observant, spent a lot of time interviewing all of these people, and she put all of her observations in a book. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. It's not necessarily at all a Christian book, but it's really interesting research, and I kind of read through that. And she talks about these top 5 regrets. It's interesting. One of the top 5 regrets, one of the patterns, one of the conversations that she said she had over and over and over with people in the final weeks of their life, she said almost everybody said this: I wished I had stayed in touch with my friends. Such a simple thought, right? I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. She wrote this: there were many deep regrets about not giving friendship the time and the effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. It's really interesting. Like, relationships take time. It takes intentionality. And I wanna be someone that at the end of my life, I look back and I say, yeah, like, I loved people deeply. And I'll tell you something, at the end of your life, and I've seen this, I've observed this so many times, what really matters are the people that you loved and the people that love you. That's all it's about. almost every single conversation, almost everything I've observed in that room when family and friends are gathered, it's about relationships. It's about who you love and who has loved you. That will be of utmost importance to you in those final weeks and those final days. So why not make that a priority now? 1 Peter 4:8 says this, above all, love each other deeply. Right? Even here we see in 1 Peter this idea, this theme, this biblical theme that's kind of woven throughout this book, this idea. There's some things that are more important than other things. And so he says, above all else, like, in other words, he's saying, make this a priority, right? Love each other deeply. And this is one of the things, there's many, but this is one of the things that so draws me to Jesus. Jesus was always with people. He's always with people. And he never seemed like he was distracted. It never seemed like he was in a rush. People were a priority to him. And it didn't matter if it was a government official. It didn't matter if it was, you know, a religious leader or a leper or a tax collector. Like, everybody mattered. And wherever he went, he loved deeply. Third thing that I put down. This tennis ball, I'm going to put an F on it. And it's going to stand for faith. One of the things that I've heard a lot of people say in those final weeks, final days, is that they wish they would have taken more risk for God. They wish they would have been quicker to respond to when God kind of called them to something significant. I hear a lot of people in those final weeks and days talk about how they regret that they were so paralyzed by the fear of failure, that there are a lot of things that they never did, they never tried, simply because they were afraid of what other people might think about them if they did. I hear a lot of that. And I think if we really lived with this knowledge, this wisdom that our days are numbered, I think we'd be quicker to respond to Jesus when he calls us to do things that sometimes just don't make a lot of sense. I think the reality is we tend to be worried about things that really don't matter. And in those final days, you won't worry about that. You're not going to worry about what other people think about you. I've never heard anybody that I've been with who's looking at death coming soon, I've never heard them talk about, oh, you know, I'm just so worried about what that person thinks about me or what that. I don't hear any of that. Nobody's checking their Instagram to see how many people liked their last picture. Right? Nobody's concerned with those kind of things. They have this kind of clarity about what really matters. And what I've noticed is that the longer that you live, the more you realize that regret stings a lot more than failure. Regret stings a lot more than failure. And so I don't know exactly who this is for, but I got a feeling this is for a few of you who really need to be reminded of this. What I'm praying for you is that you will trust God in some area of your life that absolutely scares you to death. Right? And some of you know that was just for you, right? Trust God in some area of your life that absolutely scares you to death. All right, fourth thing. Let's go with, I'm gonna put a J on this one, for joy. I think we underestimate how important joy in life really is. And I think that we're called, right, to enjoy life and to live life with joy. And I don't want to miss this. Big moments, small moments, I want to have joy. Towards the end of Jesus' ministry, he's gathered with a group of people and he says this in John chapter 15. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. See, this idea of joy, I think Jesus took this really serious. And I don't want to miss joy. I want to have joy. I want to have joy like when we get the opportunity to gather together on the weekends and worship together, I want to do that with joy. I want Northridge to be a place of deep joy, and I believe that it is. And then in all the other activities throughout our life, can we recognize joy in the midst of those things? And listen, it does not mean that everything goes exactly the way you want it to go in life. It does not mean that you don't experience some very, very difficult things in this life, because you absolutely will. But is it possible to choose joy in the midst of all that? Is it possible for you to have joy, for those of you that have just sight and sound? Can you celebrate in that? Can you have joy When you just enjoy a good meal, some of you are gonna leave here in just a few minutes and you're gonna have a meal, and hopefully you have this meal and it's a good meal and you have a good meal with people that you really wanna be around. Can you do that in joy? I wanna have friendships with joy. I wanna have joy in answered prayers. Even like the little ones, it's so interesting. On Friday, I was taking my son Brewer to his first day of middle school. And so in Nashville, our schools start a lot earlier than you guys, so don't freak out. You have plenty of summer left here, okay? Have joy in that. And but I'm taking them to school, first day of middle school, and like I can see the fear. I don't know if you remember that, but that's a big deal. When you go from elementary school to middle school, like that's a big deal. And you're worried about, you know, you're gonna have to find a locker. Now you're gonna be changing classes. You don't have just one teacher, right? You're thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to walk into the lunchroom and where am I gonna sit? And there's all kinds of things going on. And the closer we get to the school, the bigger his eyes are getting. That's what happens to him when he has fear. I've watched this for years. His eyes just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I can see the terror, right? And so one of the last things that I always do with my kids when we're pulling to school is I just say a quick prayer over them. And so kind of reach back in the back seat and put my hand on his knee and I just said, God, please be with Brewer today. Give him a great day. Help him to have tons of fun. And I pray that he meets some friends real quick. And so we pull up in the pickup line and there's cars in front of us, cars behind us. He gets out of the car and the first thing I hear, the car behind us, the kid gets out and says, hey, Brewer. And he walks over to that kid and they walk into middle school alone. And I just thought, man, so much joy. Like that was an answered prayer and that was a really fast one. Like a really fast, I just said, give him some friends and boom, he gets out of the car and there's a friend and he gets to walk into middle school, not by himself, but with somebody. Like that's a beautiful answer to a prayer. And I just took joy in that. Now, am I saying that God like orchestrated that whole thing and that, you know, I'm pulling out of my house that morning and I'd forgotten something and God kind of did that on purpose to delay me so that I'd have the just perfect timing and then we caught all the red lights just right on the way to school so that this kid would pull out. I'm not saying that like God did all that. I'm saying God could have done all that. That's the kind of God that we have. He's the kind of God that actually cares about the prayers that you pray about your kid who's going into middle school. And when you stop and you recognize that, like there's joy in that. There's joy in recognizing your spiritual gifts. There's joy in looking around at the leaves that are gonna start to change color soon. There's joy in a hike in the park or around the golf. There's joy in the simple fact that you live in Michigan and not Ohio. Right? I knew, like the closer we get to football season, I have to ramp up the Ohio jokes, right? And they're giving us plenty of material to do such, right? We're getting close. I knew you would find joy in that. Listen, joy in every stage of life, joy in everything that you experience. Now, here's the problem. If we talked about this idea of transformation, if I were to ask you, is transformation important? The person you're becoming, is that important? You would probably all say, yeah, I believe that's important. If I asked you if loving other people deeply, is that important? I think most of you would say, yep, that's important. If I asked you, is faith important? Is trusting God in areas of your life that scare you to death, is that important? You say, yep, that's important. If I asked you about joy, you'd say, yeah, we should live life with joy. Like these are things that matter. But here's the problem. When you go to squeeze the things that really matter the most in life into an already busy schedule in life, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. At best, right, you're gonna skim over these things. I mean, this is the truth, right? And I believe, friends, like this is a major, major problem in our culture today. It's not like there's rice that's disappearing. It's like rice is getting added to our lives every single day. More things that we have to do and accomplish, right? We have to do it faster. We have to do it better. And so people look at this problem in their life and they respond a few different ways. One way that some of you respond is just by skimming. You're just like, yeah, I can't fit the things that matter the most, but you know what? You know, transformation is important, but I'll go to church a couple times a year. You know, I know it's not probably what would be best for my life, but we'll skim, we'll go to church, but we won't be a part of a small group, or we won't volunteer. We'll just kind of breeze in and breeze out. Like some of you just decided you're gonna skim the things that matter the most in you. Others of you just make excuses. And so you'll say things like, this is just a busy season. Like Someday, I'm actually gonna prioritize the things that matter the most. Someday, I'll get there someday. Someday, I will come to a jar where I will start fresh and I will actually prioritize this. But I think someday is one of the most dangerous words in the English language. It's just procrastination. Right? So I guess my question is, what would it look like if we were actually to take Jesus serious? Right? What would that look like? What if, let's do this. What if we were to start tomorrow with a clean slate, right? Starting fresh. And what if you were to say, you know what? I think I might actually take Jesus at his word. I might actually seek first the things that are most important. I might seek first the things that matter the most, and I'll take Jesus at his word, because what Jesus said was that if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that everything else, all these other little details in life, they're all gonna work themselves out. What if you did that? What if you just trusted Jesus? Oh, well, lost a couple there. That's okay, it's just your in-laws. Right, what would that look like? Now, here's the thing. It's one of those messages where I need you guys to do some work, because there's some questions I can't answer for you. I don't know exactly what this would look like in your life. I have an idea of what it looks like in my life to prioritize the things that matter the most. I know about some of the things I need to put into practice for that to happen, but I don't know exactly what this looks like for you. But what I imagine is there'd be some changes that you probably have to make. What would it look like to seek first the kingdom of God? What would it look like to really trust and take Jesus up on this promise that if you'll prioritize the things that matter the most in life, that everything else will be added? He said there's some things in life that are worth making a priority over others. So would you do that? Would you just take some time this week as an individual, or maybe as a family, or maybe as a couple, to just say, let's list to four or five things that really matter. Because we have a short amount of time, right? We're not given forever, and we honestly, we don't even know how long this is gonna be. In this church alone, in the past couple days, there's a funeral for someone who I believe they were 95, and there's also a tragic funeral for someone who was 14. So you don't know. You don't know what this looks like. What would it look like for you to say, though, I'm gonna number my days. I'm gonna take this serious. I'm gonna take my one and only life serious. I'm gonna do this. Now, some of you hear a message like this about priorities, and right now you just feel guilty, because what you're thinking about are how many of these you've wasted. How many of these you've just kind of like cruised through life and not paid any attention to the things that really matter. But this is one of the beautiful things about Christianity. We're told in the book of Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. You know what that means? Tomorrow morning you wake up and you get a new one of these. It's a blank slate, and guess what? You get to choose. You get to choose what you fill that day up with. You get to choose if you really live this life as if your days were numbered. I'll tell you another thing. The most important thing that you could ever do in the context of one of these, the most important decision you would ever make in your life in the context of one of these, that not only would affect that day, but would affect every one of these days here on this earth and into eternity to come, would be whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe on this day, it's a day that changes your life forever, and you finally surrender and you say, you know what, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to ask what he did on the cross to be applied to my life, to my sin problem, so that I can spend the rest of these days on this earth with him and spend the rest of eternity with him. If that's you and you're here today, or maybe at one of our locations, maybe you're watching online and you'd like to just invite Jesus into your life, I'd encourage you to do that right now. You can do that sitting where you're sitting. I'm gonna lead us in a prayer. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come down forward. Just sitting right where you're sitting, wherever you're at, you could just pray this simple prayer of surrender. Can we bow our heads, close our eyes together? And if you're here and you'd like to make that commitment, maybe you just pray this simple prayer in your heart right now. Maybe you just say, dear God, with as much as I understand about you in this moment, I'd like to ask for what your son Jesus did on the cross to be applied to my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart right now that God raised him from the dead. And I want to spend an eternity with you. See, the Bible teaches us that one simple statement of faith is the beginning of our journey with Jesus. God, for those of us that are gathered here today who've maybe already made that decision, but we find ourselves at a place in life where maybe we need to reorganize some of our priorities. Maybe the reality is we've just been kind of drifting in life and we haven't been seeking first the things that matter the most. I just pray that today would be a reminder that we should number our days. We should live with the wisdom that every single day matters and that we should prioritize the things that matter the most in life. God, give us the wisdom. Give us the help that we need to live our lives like that. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Real quick, before we dismiss, if you're here today and maybe you just started a relationship with Jesus, we would love to know about that. All you have to do is text Northridge 313131, all right? We would love to kind of just come alongside you as you begin this journey with Jesus. I also want to remind you that there's a prayer team in all of the locations, so you can come forward afterwards if you'd like someone to pray with. And then do us one more favor on your way out. If there's any scraps of paper on the floor, if you could pick those up and carry them out with you, that would be great. Hope you guys have an amazing week. We'll see you next weekend.
No sacrifice can now